now recording.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
All right. Looks like it's actually picking it up through the gods.
Oh, yeah, we should check with you.
All right, good deal. And watch out for their knees on this thing here. I can do whatever I want, it's our show.
Alright, welcome to episode zero.
Zero.
Of the Live Christianly podcast. This is the unofficial, official first episode. Hence episode zero.
Zero.
Thanksgiving is freshly over with. We've survived any of the chaos that Black Friday may have brought our way. And the Christmas season has officially begun, or Festivus, or Hanukkah.
Yeah, Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa.
You want to leave them out.
Yeah. Has officially begun. And so this is episode zero of the Live Christianly podcast. We're going to introduce ourselves. This is a chance for you to get to know us and what this podcast is going to be about.
Hi, this is Dan, and I'd like to pause the podcast here for a moment just for a brief interlude. By the time this podcast episode is released, Elijah and I are aware that Thanksgiving and Black Friday will have been long gone. It seems that in our haste to and excitement for getting this podcast up and running, we recorded a podcast and then realized there's a lot more post-production and preparation that needed to be done in order for us to properly release this to you. So, during the course of the podcast, you'll hear several things referenced as occurring recently, which did in fact occur probably a month or more ago. We sincerely apologize for this and hope that it doesn't affect your listening enjoyment of our Live Christianly podcast. And now, I guess we'll return you back to the podcast as it was originally intended. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of what we're probably going to end up doing here is, because it's episode zero, it's not even our official episode one, so we're not going to talk too deeply about the normal things that we would go through, but in this case, we're just going to say hello, who we are, and what the purpose of Live Christianly is and why you should love us.
Oh, and you will love us.
You will love us.
We're pretty confident in that.
It's true. We are. The both of us collectively are, my name is Elijah.
And I'm Dan.
Yep. Dan has a large beard that you can clearly see using your ears. I do not have a beard. I have a little tiny patch of hair on my chin.
But it is robust.
Yeah, I can't get anything stuck in it, but at least it's robust. We like to call ourselves free-thinking Christians, which is a lot of times what people would consider to be a contradiction in terms, but it's not. We like to think of it as free-thinking as a methodology rather than a conclusion. A lot of people think that free-thinking is necessarily an atheistic conclusion, but you can be a free-thinking anybody as long as you use certain, what do you call them, like a proper methodology of way of coming to conclusions.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't...
Reasoning, rationale.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we probably agree with a lot of the more fundamentalist Christians, but in a good way. Like, well, that sounds weird to say a fundamentalist in a good way, but like the ones who hold the Christian fundamentals. But we don't hold those so tightly for no reason. We hold them because we believe that they were true. We believe that there are good reasons to believe that they are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that the entire world can be interpreted through a Christian lens and should be interpreted through a Christian lens because Christianity is true. So
we have no problem embracing those things that that we believe to be true, and as we've referred to in the past, and some of our friends and our pastor has, things that you hold with a closed fist. Those are the still fundamentals of faith, but those things that are not clear and that we are free thinking about, we are absolutely willing to converse about and feel really that it's very important for us to do this and for Christians to be willing to talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, and too many people don't do that very well. A lot of times they just hold on to certain views because they think it's true, but they haven't really thought all the way through it. And that's something that we're going to try to fight against in a nice and polite way, but hopefully not too insulting.
Not fighting in a mean, like upsetting, angry way, so much as fighting in a, well, we're right and you're clearly right.
And you're clearly wrong. Listen to what we have to say or we'll slap you in the face. Yeah, we're starting the crusades.
It's like playing GoldenEye. We're just going to be the
just slappers only. Yeah. Yes. Together, both Dan and I, we go to Grace Baptist Church. And we'll be living in Buffalo. A lot of probably some of what we'll be saying too is going to be talking about local stuff here, but not all of it. Most of the stuff will not be local stuff here. Yeah. Like we just had a snowstorm recently. We'll talk about that anyway. So we both go to Grace Baptist Church, and Dan is the worship leader. Dan, well, how do you like leading worship?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's interesting. There are challenges with it. I think I always personally encounter challenges with philosophy of worship and the importance of certain things. And I think recently, especially as we've been preparing for this podcast, I've realized the greater importance of, I love music, and so I'm very passionate about that. And so sometimes it's easy to get caught up in that. But there are other things besides just singing together as a congregation in church on Sunday morning that are of much greater importance, both within that, is what you sing should be, should be correct and accurate, and but also there are things in our lives that matter much more even than just song. So that's it. I love it. Elijah is also goes to the same church, and he is a youth leader. And teaches there in some of our equipping classes sometimes, and in the youth group.
Yeah, it's the youth group that we have is a pretty decent sized group of kids. A lot of what we're doing right now with them is a lot of what I do with them is to teach them how to think, not what to think. A lot of churches will tend to teach what to think and never a how. You can teach both. I mean, you can say, mm-hmm. This is what we believe, and here are the reasons to believe it. I would expect that to be the part of any major educational facility, including churches or schools. And at the same time, too, I don't just teach I'm not just involved with the youth group. I also teach adult Sunday school classes, too. We have a trimester or something like that. It's a rotating schedule of a bunch of classes where I teach actually apologetics. I do a 15 or 16 week, depending on where my class falls, a class dealing with arguments for the existence of God, responses to the problem of evil, reliability of the Bible, things like that. So I that's kind of like my jam, apologetics and philosophy and stuff like that.
Like strawberry or grape or...
Right, raspberry jam.
I love raspberry jam, so good.
All right, so Dan, quick question.
Yeah.
If you were to summarize yourself in 140 characters or less, how would you do that?
That's an interesting question, and I feel it's very relevant since I just had to do that within the last month or so. So probably the best way is my Twitter bio.
Oh, there you go.
I'm so nerdy. So I'm a husband. My wife Amanda is an amazing woman, and I'm very grateful for her. And just within the last 5 weeks or so, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, doesn't matter, recently, within the last 2 months, we had a baby daughter, Guinevere. She's amazing, little baby Gwen. I'm incredibly proud of her. I work for Yahoo as a customer care center representative, which I love. I'm a musician. Like I said, I lead the music and the worship on Sunday mornings in our church. I classify myself as a writer. It's more aspiring and mental at times, since I haven't actually gotten my blog off the ground. But I love to write and express my thoughts in writing. Social media junkie. I think it's amazing. There are a lot of things that you got to be careful of with social media today that you didn't have to think about years ago, like the permanency of things that you say on the internet. But I think that social media is an incredible way to connect with people online. We've had an opportunity already as individuals and as the Live Christianly podcast to be, or now is, I guess, really.
It is now on a very meta level. It has been actualized.
We've had a chance to connect over social media with a lot of people that, you know, we wouldn't have the privilege of knowing in real life. And I think that's amazing, and I love it. I'm also, like Elijah said, I'm a free thinker, follower of Jesus. So I believe Jesus is the way. But I think that there are a lot of things that the church has classically held as essential, which can be talked about and may not always be the case. So, and the last thing is we're podcasting Live Christianly, and that's awesome. I'm so glad that we're doing this, and thank you for joining us. And so, Elijah, I guess I would ask you the same question then, since you so politely limited me to 140 characters. I'll do the same.
Well, I think you went a little bit over 140 characters. I mean, you kind of rambled a bit.
No.
I'm just going to stick right to it.
That was...
All right, fine. So my Twitter bio, you can find me. Oh, Dan, what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, yeah. I am at Daniel J. Ryan. That's DanielJRyan. If you follow us at Live Christianly on Twitter, you'll also see our names there, our handles there.
Yeah, and we try to do a lot of interaction with people on that account, too. I just recently had a discussion with someone who we were talking about the Monster logo. About whether or not that was actually a representative of 666 and the Antichrist. That was fun. But yeah, so my Twitter handle is at Elijah T. And I guess if you were to pronounce it phonetically, it would be at Elijah T. Because my mom decided that it would be a good idea to put another I in my name. So it's E-L-I-J-I-A-H-T. My Twitter bio, to summarize myself, I would imagine, is... Free-thinking Christianity, for reasons that we've just discussed, science and philosophy. I actually went to school for biology. I have a bachelor's in biology, and I have my minor is in philosophy. I have listed here a semi-successful autodidact, which an autodidact is someone who can teach themselves things. I do my best to teach myself things that I'm interested in. Right now, I've been leaning heavily in the economic sphere, which is why the next thing in my bio here is a libertarian. I'm probably a little more libertarian than a lot of people feel comfortable with.
You've been very on that train lately.
Yeah, it's a good train, though. Yeah. It's a good train because it's a free marketly induced train.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, free markets, get away from my train, government. Anyway, so I also am a blogger. I blog right now at a blog called thinklearnlive.wordpress.com. I'm probably going to get rid of that to replace it with ElijahT.com, hopefully. I'm going to spend like $18 or whatever on that. But yeah, I have a handful of things that I tend to blog on. A lot of them are things that other people have said, I'm glad you're dealing with that because I don't know if I would want to deal with that. I have, my most recent post is victim blaming and the problem of social justice warriors, and I have another one that's that got all sorts of chaos on Facebook was, do vaccines cause autism? It doesn't matter. Vaccinate anyway. And I have a couple other things. One, I actually argue for the freedom and permission to genetically engineer your children. So I didn't do that with my, my new child.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am actually married to Dan's sister, which makes us brothers-in-law, yeah. Brothers in Christ, brothers in law. Yeah, it makes us brothers in law.
Is that like a duo, bro?
It is, yeah.
Is that what you call that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. Bro duo. But yeah, so I. And
that sounds like a Pokemon.
Bro duo.
I'm sorry.
Yes, bro duo. Bro duo, bro duo. Anyway, so my wife and I just had our first child. He is 5.5 months old at this point, and he is, if you ever hear anything in the background, odds are it's my child. Because he's quite loud.
And mine has not yet learned to make very loud noises.
Right.
She's still a little fresh.
It's more like a... Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a muffled kind of...
That's good.
A glottal stop. I've been practicing.
She'd understand you.
She would. Yeah, and Micah's more like a high-pitched shriek. I can't even do it, and I probably would blow your eardrums out if I tried.
I'm so glad that you didn't try.
Yeah, I might wake him up. Anyway, so yeah, that's my blog. That's who I am. So follow us on Twitter, and that's, what, do you have something to say?
Well, I was just going to say, that's who we are. Chances are, if you're listening to this, when it comes out, you already know us.
It's true.
But either through Twitter or in real life, but this is so you know us when we get to be, like, really famous.
Yeah.
Which I imagine will happen at least within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I always we're expecting to have Barack Obama on the show. Will Smith, because we just want to have Will Smith.
And who better to get jiggy with it with than Will Smith?
Barack Obama and Will Smith.
Yeah.
Right. I bet you Barack Obama will get jiggy with
it.
He probably would. Also, speaking of potential people to have on the show besides Barack Obama and Will Smith, we actually do want to have a handful of people that... Well, actually, anybody who really would like to come on the show can contact us. I mean, this is episode zero, so, you know.
That's true.
If you want to come on.
Ground floor,
send
right
us
here.
An email or something. Oh, email. It's livechristianly@gmail.com, right?
That's right. Yeah. It is.
Okay, so that gets pushed to both of our phones, so whoever gets it first can answer it first. But anyway, so we actually have a bunch of friends who go to our church or who we know through church or through something that we've done locally around here, where they've been interested in coming on the show and talking about where their job or what they do meets Christ, essentially. So it's like how they as a Christian interact in their world. We have a friend who is his name's Rob, and he is he's like a prison guard, basically.
Yeah.
There's a special name for it, but he's a prison guard with big muscles.
It probably has corrections in it.
Corrections officer. Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
So he's a believer, and so he's told us a ton of stories about being able to witness to certain people in prison, and doing things with people in prison and things like that, and all the stories that have happened. There was one where some dude tried to do like a backflip and hit his face on a toilet or something like that. Maybe we'll ask him about that one.
We should, yeah. So, but these are all the people that we're going to bring on, Rob just being one example of that. A lot of them are just people that we have personal relationships, and we see that what they are is what we consider doing it right. You know, their faith is meeting the culture around them in what they do in a very real way that's impacting people. Very positively. They're not ashamed or shedding their faith in any way. But they're definitely where those two things intersect. We feel that they have mastered in some way or are doing very well. So that's up and coming. I mean, you're probably interested in as I imagine this. Well, first of all, we're both podcast junkies. Let's just get that right out of the way to begin with.
Yeah, how many podcasts do you have currently on your phone, Dan?
Oh, you...
Over 9,000!
Basically. So I feel like I'm in this continual state of wanting to just subscribe to all of them to know all of the stuff. And I only get to listen to like a few a week, but I probably have like upwards of 120 that I'm subscribed to, because I'm like, oh, hey, well, I'll want to listen to this at some point, or this. I mean, the ones I really love right now, maybe I should say that. I love Radiolab. I know there's This American Life. I love stories, like where science and history and stuff like that meet narrative and are told in a very interesting way. So I'm really passionate about creative podcasting. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think I'm also a podcast junkie, but in a different way. While you subscribe to a bunch of people and just kind of don't listen to many of them, even though you would love to, I'm extremely picky.
Yeah.
And I'm stupidly picky. Probably because I have a job right now. I'm a videographer. I do a lot of video editing. And I am able to listen to a podcast. I probably get upwards of 5, maybe 6 hours a day of podcasting. The only time I have to not listen to podcasts is when other people are talking to me. But I've made it so that people in my office tend to wear headphones, so I get to listen to podcasts for almost 6, maybe 7 hours a day.
I'm so jealous.
So I basically will binge listen to a certain podcast. I think when the first time I listened to Christ in Pop Culture, they were on episode like 26 or something, and I texted you like the next day. I was like, finished all of them. All of them are done. I finished them. But yeah, so I mean, I've been listening to a lot of the actually it might just be because we wanted to start this podcast, but I've been listening to a lot of Christ in Pop Culture. Bad Christian, there's this one that I listen to.
Those dudes are awesome.
They are awesome. Just if you guys don't listen to them, listen to them.
Matt, Joey, Toby.
Yeah, friends of the show.
I feel like I know them so personally from listening.
It's true, and they know us, even though they don't. In a similar vein, there's just another one by three Southern pastors called My Gospel Friends. I've been listening to that occasionally. They're kind of funny. Shout out. They're friends of our show, too. I'm extremely picky in the podcasts I listen to, so I may not even listen to our podcast.
No.
I'm just kidding. This is going to be on repeat.
Since I'm going to have to edit it and put it all together.
You only have one listener, and that's you.
So we're both junkies in our own right, but this is our first attempt at our own. And it really, like, we want to talk about a little bit how it began, because it was kind of interesting how this came to be about. And you'll see that, I think we mentioned this a little bit, but a lot of what we are going to talk about here comes up in our lives. There's just topics that appear from regular conversations that we have, either with each other or with people that, you know, we're connected with or live life with on a regular basis. And so a lot of what we bring up here is stuff that we've already had a chance to talk about to some extent. So, but we originally, I remember it very distinctly.
We were sitting in my living room, weren't we?
Well, the first time we brought it up, and this was before we decided to have the podcast, but we brought up the circumstances with World Vision that happened earlier this year. And so basically, to give a brief synopsis, and we'll have online if you're interested in knowing more about what happened there, but basically World Vision, which is an aid organization for overseas, people overseas, and so...
A really big one, too.
Like, yeah, huge, they're very prominent.
Yeah.
But they decided to allow, within their company, hiring of gays, homosexuals, lesbians, that's classically not been done in the company, and... this is a company that's been largely supported by many different denominations within the church. And so when that came out, and I believe their reasoning was, if I remember correctly, basically, and I respect this a lot personally, is that they saw themselves as an aid organization and not, given that there are a lot of conversations happening surrounding homosexuality in the church right now, they saw themselves as not wanting to be in the way of that, and so it was the place of the church to theologically decide where they stood regarding homosexuality and Christianity, not for World Vision. And so they altered their hiring policy to allow for that where they previously hadn't. And what happened was the church, the evangelical church, largely. Went into an uproar, and I remember people just pulled support. I was almost freaking out. Like I first read it to myself when I was in my room at home, and I just wanted to flip out because, you know, I just saw that, you know, all these people were pulling aid from people overseas who needed it, and they had previously committed to providing it. And it was over a hiring policy.
You cannot give orphans food if you have sex with another man. That's not allowed. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So there are some people out there who attempted to make decent arguments about that, for and against. And there were a very minimum number of people who were having a reasonable discussion. But like that... Well, there are very few people that were having the reasonable discussion, and the people that were not having the reasonable discussion were the ones that the media was paying attention to. Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, Christians are all homophobic. And then in response to that, you know, there were people that were saying that, you know, not all Christians are homophobic, and then it was just going back and forth. And then then it became a big debate about marriage, which is libertarian, freedom. Anyway, so, like, there are things like that that come up on a regular basis. Like, just recently, there was the two movies that came out.
Yeah.
There was Noah and God Is Not Dead. As an apologetics junkie myself, I was not all that impressed by God Is Not Dead. It was okay. Professor Radisson was stupid.
It made
atheists look dumb.
Yeah, it seemed kind of like a
contrived.
Or like when people envision a circumstance in their head, you know, and it's not an actual accurate circumstance. It's just kind of like, oh, this might happen, and this is exactly how it would perfectly play out in my mind.
Right. And then at the very end, he gets hit by a car. Oh, shoot. Spoiler alert. He gets hit by a car in the middle of a Newsboys concert. Now you don't have to watch it.
People are going
to
be angry with us.
Yeah, it's fine. If you haven't seen this movie, if you've not seen God Is Not Dead by now and you're listening to this podcast, first, go see the movie just because it's funny. But you should probably... Actually, yeah, pause the podcast. Go watch the movie, and then watch Noah, and then come back, and then we'll catch up. Okay? How about that?
We'll give him, like, 3 seconds?
Yeah, we'll give him 3 seconds.
To pause it?
Yep. All right, and you're back. Good, yeah. So how'd you like Noah?
Yeah.
You like it was good? Dan, did you watch Noah, right?
I did. Did I see it? No, I'm pretty sure I watched it.
I watched it. I loved it. I thought it was super cool.
I was very impressed with it. I gotta say, actually, I saw there was a new movie coming out, too, called Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Oh, with Batman. Let my people go. What are you doing?
Yes. Batman in the most classical Old Testament
sense. Yes, yes.
I thought it was great. I mean, the Great Flood is something that you've heard about. In a lot of different cultures for centuries, there's been lore of it. So regardless of what Christians' beliefs are on that, I don't believe that it negates, you know, what this producer did. And I thought it was it's a movie. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic here.
And the flood, I mean, to be honest, like, I mean, there's the whole, in the Bible, you go from the creation story to the, you know, the fall of man, then the flood, and then, that's like what the end of the flood. It's no the end of the Tower of Babel is only 11 chapters, and they made an hour and a half, almost 2 hour long movie about this stuff. You know, you got to have some artistic license in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they put these like rock creatures. Those were sweet. there was like this big, you know,
like a Lord of the Rings type thing.
Yeah, and it was cool. I don't know why everyone was freaking out. If you don't hold exactly to my interpretation of scripture and make a movie exactly like that, you know what it probably was? It was probably how all the people were like saying, oh no, this movie's going to be so great. And they showed it at like Christian concerts and stuff.
I remember that, yeah.
Yep. Yippee! Noah! Yay! So, what has become known as the Christian right has horrible responses to various things, including World Vision, God Is Not Dead, Noah, Ferguson.
Other thing, yeah. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
You jumped the gun.
I did. I'm sorry. It's way down on our little notes here, yeah. But that's fine. I forgive myself.
and this is our passion, because we don't believe that that's necessary. You know, we don't believe that that you have to be, if someone is going to be offended with your faith, let it be the fact that they don't agree with the faith itself, not offended with you as a person and how you're living and existing, and so that's in a nutshell where this idea for the podcast originally came in, because we saw that there was a kind of an, I would say personally, an overwhelming need for just clear thinking.
Yeah.
And
everywhere, not even just within Christianity, but everywhere.
Right. Because there are always two sides to this. For every over the top fundamentalist, there is someone on the other side shouting from the opposite side of the fence that,
right,
you know, Christians are all lunatics and crazy and don't know what they're saying. And so part of this is just showing that there is room for rational, understandable thought and dialogue and openness in conversation about things like this.
Yeah.
We have a passion to respond to this stuff, not to react instinctively, not to let our emotions be. I'm a relatively emotionless droid of a man.
I can tell by that beard.
Yes. The beard really holds all of the
emotion in here, and it just comes out as a fist.
It sucks the emotion out of me and just produces wondrous facial hair.
Just anyway, so Dan.
Yeah.
The other day, right, about a week ago or so, yep. There was apparently the god of the snow. Is there a god of the snow?
Is there?
Look up the god of the snow. So the god of the snow decided that it would be a good idea. There's probably somebody from Final Fantasy that's a god of the snow.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I got one here. She, in Greek mythology, I wish I knew how to say this. Shion.
So Shion decided that it would be a good idea to just unleash her fury upon Buffalo a little while back.
Yeah.
And being Buffalo residents, we were... Well, I can't say that we were really hit all that bad. Didn't you tell me that we were... Like, your street was just immune. It had like did you pray for a hedge of protection?
I see what you did there.
I did,
That was a good move. No. It's so we have this thing that they've referred to in our area for the last couple of years called the Polar Vortex.
Polar Vortex!
Which is exactly how I hear it in my head when they say it on television. It's just lake effect snow. We get snow that comes off the lake. I don't know how the weather works necessarily.
Yeah,
but
the sky exists and it just dumps stuff on us.
Yeah.
Dumps mashed potato flakes all over us.
And the last 2 years have been pretty extreme. And last year was kind of like, we had a lot of snowfall all over the place. This year was just, we're from the Buffalo area. I'm kind of like, I don't know how to describe where I am, but...
From City Hall, if you threw a rock really far, you might hit your house.
Like, really, really far.
Really far.
Like, if you were Thor.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Throwing his hammer.
Yeah.
Oh, his white hammer could probably hit anything.
Yeah, it could probably hit
that. So, the Hulk. If you were the Hulk, throwing Thor.
Yeah. The Hulk's, if he Hulk smashed and the ground the waves...
The area of effect, AOE.
Yes.
I got you.
Okay. We're speaking the same language.
It's true.
All right. That would be essentially where the end of that.
I have an idea. So how long driving distance are you from, like, downtown Buffalo?
Probably like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit further than that, I would imagine. Maybe 15 minutes, but sort of in different directions.
Yeah.
Like,
it takes me 15 minutes to get to your house and 10 into Buffalo. And you could probably get to Buffalo in like 17.
Yeah. Probably something like that. But, I mean, the reason we bring it up is because it seems like everywhere around us got pummeled with snow, except for, like, this little stretch.
North, basically.
Yeah, and it includes me. And so, like, it was just a tiny little sliver of this, you know, part of Buffalo that didn't get anything. And we got stuff. I mean,
maybe 6 to 8 inches.
Something like that. But, I mean,
foot here. And then what's crazy is my wife's mother lives nearby to us, and where the storm really hit was South Buffalo. So,
yeah.
And then basically for every mile you would drive away from where we live towards South Buffalo, there was almost an extra foot of snow for each mile. It was pretty insane.
Yeah, and it was cool too with the. Like, you know, being living in a certain place, you know people in all sorts of the areas around here, especially if you go to, like, a church and, you know, people come from a half an hour away. We actually had a friend who lived probably about a half an hour away, and he apparently opened up his garage in the morning, and there it was, 6.5 feet of snow or something. He was posting Facebook updates throughout the day, and it was like, oh, by the way, I just got finished shoveling my entire driveway, turned around, oops, 3 more feet. So yeah,
I read something online about they were, because the National Weather Service came in, or the Weather Channel, and they were making a big deal. And it was a big deal, blizzard-like conditions, and but they said that the record, I believe, for snowfall in a 24-hour period in America is like, it was like 72 or 76 inches, I think.
I believe.
And we were. I don't know that they officially said that we met that or broke that. It's in, like, I believe that record is in the mountains in Colorado. But they said that if we didn't hit it, we were pretty close to breaking that record.
Yeah.
Which is pretty insane. I live here, but I don't consider Buffalo to be like one of those, like, you're going to get pummeled.
Yeah, because to be honest, I mean, we get a couple feet of snow and like a snowfall or whatever, but I mean, that's not a big deal.
Roads don't close, plows just come out.
Fun fact, side note, I lived in Virginia for a year. It looked like someone with bad dandruff shake their hair off on my front lawn and they canceled school for 3 days.
Were those potato flakes?
The potato flakes.
Those came up again.
They did. Yeah. The potato flakes, yeah, someone just came by with a huge box of potato flakes and put it on our lawn. You could honestly still see grass.
Yeah.
And they canceled school. And I was in 10th grade, so I was like, yeah, school sucks. I hate it. So, you know, but then I went outside because they said it was a snow day. And I'm like, this is a joke? You can't even make a single snowball with all of the snow in my front yard. But yeah, no, it was super cool with everybody here in Buffalo because we... knowing everybody around here, a lot of people they drove out to where somebody had 8 feet of snow or something like that on their roof, and their roof was like collapsing in on itself and stuff like that. And they ended, you know, it was like a big Buffalo collective, and we all just kind of came together and shoveled everybody out. Yeah. It was pretty cool. Not everybody. Well, they're out now because it rained and it was like 60 yesterday. But yeah, there was people up in the south town, stuff like that. Their roofs were caving in, and people were stuck on the highway, stuck in their cars and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The worst thing that happened to me was that Super Smash Brothers was released a day later.
Oh, okay. All right. as people are snowed in and starving for food.
Yeah, Super Smash
Your
Brothers.
Your video game.
It's true.
That's good. Well, it's priorities, you know, priorities.
Yeah.
So that is really cool, though. It's... I didn't have the opportunity over the couple of days that happened, but the community here is pretty incredible. And when stuff like that happens, Buffalo classically, you see a lot of people coming together to help each other out, and this was no different. Actually, this is really cool. I got to bring this up. This isn't even in our notes, so
don't bring it
I'm
up.
Throwing you a loop.
Oh,
I'm throwing
you a loop. I quit.
I don't know if you saw the other day on the Bills website. Dell, one of our buddies, Dell, would have posted it, probably, that one of the old players for the Buffalo Bills has been struggling a lot with the aftermath of a career in football, and has been going through like a battle with depression, and has just very, very publicly and personally at the same time, just kind of like buried himself out there and just said, listen, this is something I'm really struggling with. With all these health problems, and you know, he's thought about suicide on a couple occasions, I believe he said as well. And within a couple days, people had started in the community of Buffalo, people had started up Kickstarter and crowdfunding campaigns to just kind of gather together money to help him with his 'cause former NFL players classically have. Not very good health coverage with all of the injuries that they've incurred during their career. So I just thought it was really cool. Another example of, you know, when you're here, you're family, and you know, once you leave, you're still family. And
is it Olive Garden?
It is. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah,
give you unlimited breadsticks.
Never-ending soup and salad.
What is that soup? Zuppa Toscana. Amanda loves that. Right. I'm sorry.
When you first brought up the football guy, I thought you were going to talk about the dude who scored a touchdown and then pretended to shuffle his way out as like the football dance.
That's good. Scott Chandler.
Yeah, all right. There you go. See, he's a football guy.
Hey, Scott.
Friend of the show, Scott Chandler. If you want to come on the show, feel free.
By the way, I believe if you haven't already realized, when we say friend of the show, it literally means we want you to be friends with the show.
Not that
you are already friends with the show.
Be friends with me, yes.
But that we are begging for your friendship.
Richard Dawkins, friend of the show. Stephen Hawking, friend of the show. Anyway, so
Barack Obama, friend of the show.
Well, I mean, I actually had an interaction with Richard Dawkins on the Twitter.
Oh, did you?
See, okay, so this is where my listening to podcasts comes out now, because in my gospel friends, they say the Twitter. And I can't not say it now, because every time they refer to the Twitter, they say the Twitter. And so now it's Twitter. So anyway, on Twitter, I posted something. Okay, Richard Dawkins said something stupid. Oh, I never would have thought. Richard Dawkins, love you. You want to come on the show? You can come on the show. Anyway, he said something dumb. He said something like, theology is a pretend sport or something like that, something dumb. And then I subtweeted Richard Dawkins, which subtweeting, for those of you guys who don't tweet, is talking about somebody without tagging them and without them knowing. But so I tweeted something like, you know, I love when professionals come out against theology after writing an epic theological failure for a book. And of course, that means the God delusion. I read it. It was horrible. We can talk about
Tell
that.
Us how you really feel.
It's okay, I love it.
It's maybe a different podcast.
It was great. Yeah. Let's talk about that later.
That's maybe another one of those.
Yeah. I don't know. Richard Dawkins. Anyway, so then he responded to me, but not to me. He subtweeted me too. And he says, I've just been accused of epic theological failure. What does a theological success look like? And then I was like, oh, what a good idea for a blog post. Thanks, friend of the show, Richard Dawkins. But how much more famous can I be?
That's pretty funny.
I don't think you told me about that, that you subtweeted you. Well, you threw
you
me back. A curveball, so I threw you one.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, no, because it is cool because of the way that social media works is that, like, you can talk to somebody who you never otherwise would have talked to.
Yeah.
And especially on Twitter. Like, on Facebook, no one cares about Facebook.
You have to prove your friends.
Yeah. And, like, you can follow people.
There's
but
a shield, like, letting you interact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with Twitter, it's like, you can kind of just tag whoever you want. Like, there's this author of a book that recently came out, and, well, recently, a little while back, came out, and I was talking to him about one of his central tenets of his book, Peter Boghossian. Friend of the show. And so, as you guys, they all know about the show way before now, because you guys, the listeners who are just hearing about it now, way behind the times. Richard Dawkins knew about this before you did. Anyway, so when we first had this idea for the show, part of what I do at work is I do a lot of marketing. And Twitter marketing is sort of like what I've been getting into-ish. You can do a certain type of marketing where you just follow a bajillion people and hope for follow backs and, you know, have like an automated system where it unfollows people who don't follow you in 12 hours or whatever. That's not what we're looking for here. What we're looking for on Twitter is to actually have a decent number of interactions with people so that people that we follow, we genuinely are interested in what you have to say. And if you follow us back, it's because you're interested in what we have to say too. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I was actually introduced to a new website that just launched less than a week ago, I would imagine. And it's called Theology Mix. Theologymix.com is what it is. And I've posted three posts on there so far. And my post I'm working on right now is called, it's a working title. It's Flying Spaghetti Yahweh.
Whoa.
Yeah, watch out for that one.
Loaded.
The idea behind that is that the flying spaghetti monster has to be Yahweh, otherwise it's not going to work. Which, of course, as spaghetti, you cannot be Yahweh. So that's the...
Whoa.
Yeah,
well... That'd be so loaded.
This is just borderline heresy.
Yeah.
The creator of the whole world, all the universe, is also spaghetti. Anyway, so with that... Twitter allows us to interact with, you know, actual legitimate friends of the show, people who will otherwise, you know, remain nameless until you interact with us, and then we will talk about you on the show, and then you'll be as famous as I was the day that I was subtweeted by Richard Dawkins.
Maybe
quite possibly. Yeah. Yeah, so if you guys have interactions about, you know, if you're listening to this right now, we should come up with a hashtag for our show, like right now. Quick.
Make one up.
LC Pod. Hashtag LC Pod.
LC Pod.
Yep. LC for Live Christianly. Pod for podcast. Or for a pod racer.
Yeah, and if you forget, follow at Live Christianly, because I think we have it in our Twitter bio. Too.
We do. Oh, we should read that. What were we? We were going to... Yeah, let's talk about that. Okay, so Live Christianly, we have...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did.
We were going to talk about this. So our bio is upcoming podcast by, well, me and him. Sometimes controversial commentary on Christ and culture, and sharing isn't always agreement. However, the one that we have a pinned tweet, and it says, hey, look for our upcoming podcast poised at the messy and sometimes borderline heterodoxical intersection of Christianity and culture.
Now, I think we've already, just in some of the instances we've provided as examples, proven that sometimes the intersection of Christianity and culture is messy.
A little bit.
Clearly.
We are poised in that direction.
Yes. We are poised. We are ready to dive right into that. But why don't you talk about what the heterodoxical is?
Okay, so
because not everyone may know.
No, that's true. Google it. Google heterodoxy. It's something. Basically, it's something that would. So heresy is what kicks you out of the church, basically. There are certain beliefs that you have to have in order to be able to call yourself a Christian. In the same way, like, in order to be able to call yourself a Republican, you have to have certain beliefs.
That's a bad example.
In order to call yourself...
A dolphin,
you have to have certain attributes. If you have a foot, you're not a dolphin. A functional foot, because I don't know about accidental feet. Yeah. Oops, this dolphin has a foot. So you have to have a foot in order to be able to be a dolphin. No. You cannot have a foot if you want to be a dolphin.
That's a good example of heresy.
Yeah, that's right a good... There. If you were a dolphin and you have a foot... What is this heretical dolphin feet? So
welcome to episode zero.
Welcome to episode zero, where we have heretical dolphin feet. So a heterodoxy is something that's like, the phrase here, sometimes borderline heterodoxical, is we tend to push the line a bit, not in a way that would contradict the teaching of Scripture, but in a way that would kind of make it so that, you know, we're trying to, I don't know what, how would you describe it? Like,
well, I would go back to the example that I gave before, in that we believe that there are things that you have to, and this is, have to hold with a closed fist, because that's what makes you a Christian. But those things that are not necessary to being a Christian, other interpretations and passages of the Bible, beliefs on one thing or another, a lot of churches don't hold to those. They teach that those are part of Christianity. That if you don't believe one thing or another, that you are not a Christian.
If you are not a young earth creationist who speaks in tongues, then you are not a true Christian.
Right.
But if you're an old earth creationist who has also never spoken in tongues, me, then that would fall outside of what the young earth tongue speakers would call... They would call that orthodoxy or something like, basically. And then outside of that idea would be a heterodoxy.
Right. And so we're all about pushing the lines and pushing the boundaries of things that are not necessarily orthodoxy or in Christianity. So stuff that stuff we're questioning is I would say necessary, because I think questioning is important to making sure you're living your faith correctly, and that making sure that your faith is, legitimate. You know, questioning is just important. I mean, the Bible itself, Paul says, to test everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like the mentality that we have, is that what we're doing is we are testing everything. You know, we're asking questions that might be difficult to answer sometimes. Maybe, and we're not claiming to, and this I think is important for us to say, but I love that. I believe the friends of the podcast, Bad Christian, say this a lot. They're not there to provide an answer per se. And some of the stuff we talk about, you know, there may be the answer, and it may not be. But I think the most important part is having that conversation.
Yeah,
which is what we're doing.
And the cool thing is if you disagree with us, we're not going to hit you in the face with the Bible. Well, we might if you say,
"Well, I don't have a big enough Bible to do that anymore."
Well, you could probably just throw your phone. Get an OtterBox and throw your phone.
No.
It's a new phone. You got one of those new ones.
I'll buy a Bible. I'll buy a Bible and hit you in the face with it.
There you go. I have a big, huge hardcover Bible that is like MacArthur commentary. And
is it on your mantle?
It is on my mantle, open to John 3:16. No, anyway, so what the goal of what we want to do is not to necessarily provide an answer that is definitive, although we hold to the position because we think it's the correct position to hold to. The goal is to kind of just, for this podcast, is to start the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this, you shouldn't be interpreted that way. Maybe this thing that happened in Ferguson wasn't because of everyone... or maybe we shouldn't be thinking that it's because of race, or maybe we should be thinking it's because of race.
Right.
So, it's we're essentially trying to promote free thinking. Oh, no way.
we're selling you. We're selling you a product.
Yeah. That product is free. Crap. We're never going to make it the millions of dollars that we want to make with this podcast.
So, And we're not going to get into it too much today, but that's a really good example of stuff that really, to borrow an old expression, really grinds my gears. I don't think I've ever said that really in a serious
manner. That's better. We can't be friends anymore.
Oh, man. So, but stuff that Ferguson is such a, if you haven't read about it, read about it. We can't do justice to the full story really on here with the couple minutes that we're just mentioning it today. And I'm going to guess it's probably going to come up again in conversation. But
we've been tweeting a lot about it.
We have, yeah.
Check out the articles that we posted because they're really good.
Yes.
The first step in order to be able to form an opinion is to be informed. So you should probably do that. And, you know, where else to go other than us totally unbiased people? On our Twitter.
Free thinkers.
Free thinkers, yeah, here. Here's all the free articles from there, for your local free thinkers.
But it's just a perfect example of people behaving badly. And I think that you know, you can kind of see that a lot of people, whether they are outrightly racist or not, we have a lot of biases and a lot of beliefs that have kind of been passed down in this country through the many years that slavery was here. And I don't, I'm a suburban white dude. I make no claims to understand plight, but I certainly, I believe we have to sympathize, and I believe that also it's not, you know, we don't know. Is it about race? Is it not about race? I don't know if there's really an answer in this situation because we don't know. We can't read someone's mind. We can't see someone's heart. You know, we can only look at the facts that are presented. But, and I think this is a great example because it's just because we don't know doesn't mean you shouldn't ask the question, is this about race? You know, are we thinking correctly? Are we drawing conclusions that are proper because, you know, we've thought this out well? Or is this just a, you know, an instinctual reaction to it because, you know, we have a bias towards police officers, or, you know, we have a, you know, judgment that we pass down on police officers, or anything like that? And so I guess, again, it kind of circles back around to just because we don't know the answer and we may not arrive at an answer doesn't mean you don't ask the questions.
Right, that's, which is a lot of times is very strange that people think that it's inappropriate to ask a question. Like, well, maybe this isn't exactly what happened. Maybe this person didn't say that. Maybe this person was making something up. Maybe this
question is really just a plea for information.
Yeah.
Like, trying to understand.
And I don't remember the last time anyone was killed by information. So, well, we won't talk about what's his name?
Don't you dare say friend of the podcast, Richard Dawkins.
No, not friend of the podcast, Richard Dawkins. The dude, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Anyway, it'll come to me after the show is over. So
check the show notes.
Check the show notes. There's something I was going to say. Oh, did you ever notice that the ones who say that they're not racist are always racist? Mm. I know this because I'm not racist. See what I did there? Anyway, so it looks like our timer is running relatively low at this point. Yeah. But in order to wrap up, I want to tell you a funny little story. Well, not really a story. But so when Dan and I were first thinking about making this podcast, it was like a little while ago. And we had to kind of lure our wives into saying yes, that we were allowed to spend several hours per night. Per week, well, recording a podcast.
What we didn't tell them is the hours a day that we spend preparing for the podcast.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, see, there's our timer. Scared the crap out of me.
You just mentioned it.
I did. It was, like, 29 seconds. Okay, anyway, so that was a timer. So, well, let's, you know, cut the episode now. No, I'm just kidding. What we decided to do was we wanted to make it so that their night would be enjoyable as well. So they're downstairs and they're hanging out together, enjoying our newborn babies. And we came together and we made, we're making a different meal every time we record a podcast. Mm. My supervisor at work gave me some venison from his hunting expeditions this year. And it was delightful, and we decided that we wanted to make venison chili and cornbread muffins out of it. That's what we made tonight. So what we need from you...
It's quite delicious.
Yeah. I thought
I wish we could share it, really, with all of you.
If you come over...
The listeners.
You'll be a friend of the show.
A friend of the podcast.
It is still in the crock pot.
It is.
It is warm. So come on over now. If you're listening, like, right now, live. As in, like, live, like, 10:44 p.m.
And if you hear us outside the window,
Saturday.
Then I think we have some other conversations to have.
Yeah, you should probably. So tell you what, don't come inside, because we'll think you're weird. Anyway, so what we want to do is we want to kind of, we're eventually going to run out of ideas of things to cook, and we would like ideas as to what we should cook, because Dan is a professional chef. Right, Dan?
Yeah. I'll tell you, when I got married, there was a couple things that I knew how to make. One was a good sandwich. I can make a great peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You'd make a nice wife.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're not misogynists.
Also, macaroni and cheese. I'm real good at mac and cheese.
Yep.
Really, ice cubes. Really good at ice cubes.
Oh, here you can make eggs.
I could. I didn't know that when I got married. But I learned how. The first time I made scrambled eggs ever, I had the griddle on too hot. So that when I poured the egg mixture in, I basically made an instant omelet. And it was paper thin. And I did that twice, and I gave up eggs forever. Only to find out later that I was doing it all wrong, and I needed to let it cook on a lower temperature and then move them around. And so that was my... I now know how to make scrambled eggs. So I'm
happy for you. And at the same time, too, with my mom used to cook, and I used to kind of look over her shoulder when she was doing stuff, and I learned a lot from her. And so what I do is I kind of approach this whole cooking thing in a way that's like... well, let's just say I'm the kind of guy that will put Sprite on chicken. It's delightful. Don't knock it until you try it.
The lemon and the lime.
Podcasters.
Man, the lemon and the lime.
Don't, yeah, the lemon and the coconut. Lime and the chicken. Anyway, so, yeah. So, if you have a, like, the thing that we should try, because I want to become, like, a connoisseur.
I mean, I just want to learn how to cook.
Yeah.
And Elijah's teaching me, so.
Yeah. Yep. That's how it's going to go. So, and plus, it needs to be good for our wives. So, help us impress them. And, you know, if you are our wives listening to this, what do you want to eat? Please tell us what you'd like to eat. Yeah, okay. So, anyway, if you have an idea, tweet at us, at LiveChristianly, or at Elijah T, or at Daniel J. Ryan.
Yeah, we should have a hashtag for, what, like, LC Cooks?
LC Food.
LC Food.
LC, let's see.
Oh, LC Food.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put something up maybe in the next couple days.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, right now, even.
This timer.
Yeah.
Stop. Thank you. Okay.
So, anyway.
Click to close.
Yeah. If you have ideas for what we can cook, what I can learn how to cook, that would be awesome, because I do want to learn how to cook. I'm still relatively...
Don't suggest eggs.
I know eggs. I'm so good at eggs right now.
Can you poach an egg?
Okay, suggest eggs. So, yeah, tweet at us. Let us know what we should cook. On social networking, you can find me, again, at Daniel J. Ryan. And you are at
you know, Phantasmagic. Yeah.
I wonder if that's a real thing.
No, it might be. Fun fact, I don't know if you ever heard of the game Gunbound? I used to play this game called Gunbound, and it was a side-scrolling thing where you're this little anime character sitting in this little... I used to sit on a mastodon, and so my name was Phantasmagic, and I think that account got hacked.
Hey, good news. That's available as a Twitter name.
Yes! Don't take it, friends of the show. That's mine. Anyway, so then that account got hacked, and then I became Buffalo Butt Teepee. Yeah. I was, like, 16.
I'm learning an awful lot about you.
Yeah, it's true.
Things I feel like I might have needed to know before.
Before saying yes to starting this podcast. You were under contractual agreement. Anyway, so we got to end the show because it's late and you guys should go home. And I should go to bed.
So this concludes essentially episode 0 of the Live Christianly podcast. So thanks for spending your valuable time listening to our ramblings about what will be in future shows. God, church, culture, news, fundamentalism, random interesting stuff, current events, other important issues. Today, that just they test the relationship between Christians and the world around all of us. And so let us know you're there. Follow us on Twitter at LiveChristianly. We really want to be a part of opening up these conversations and having what we consider to be a really important dialogue about the church. So join us as we try to live Christianly.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.